Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
And we're coming to you live from the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Friday morning. It's a feel-good football Friday. Had the Jets and Patriots last night. I mean, I don't know what the Jets are trying to do the rest of this season. I really don't. But I do think that winning is a better thing than losing. Yes, I do believe that. That when you're trying to build a program and you're trying to make this thing different than it has been, and Aaron Glenn's trying to put his own stamp on this thing, winning is more important than losing with the draft pick, especially we've got so many draft picks that the Jets have the next 2 weeks. So where am I going with this? I'm going that Justin Fields cannot be the starting quarterback if Tyrod Taylor is healthy the rest of the year. He had a nice little drive to start off the game. They go up 7-0. You're thinking maybe we got something positive here. The guy is just lost. I mean, I've seen too many times. He three times we said yesterday he had under 50 yards passing in a football game, or 55, whatever it was. You know, last night it's like 116, whatever it is. They've got no shot offensively the rest of the year if he's the starting quarterback. So if you want to win some games, get some momentum into next year, you got to make the switch there. It's a weird year. It's a throwaway year at this point, but it's not for Aaron Glenn and building a culture. And if you're trying to win some games, you can't be the quarterback. We're talking about the Giants, obviously, today with the Packers and Kafka and Jameis Winston and all that good stuff. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I don't know what people expected. I mean, this is what I kind of expected was going to happen last night, and it happened. I mean, the Jets have a great first opening drive. Justin Fields is doing the athletic thing, running all over the place. They ask Aaron Glenn after the game, you know, are you going to run Justin Fields more? Shouldn't you be running him more? Now, meanwhile, Giant fans are saying, don't run Jackson Dart. I mean, it's like, I don't know what alternate universe I'm living in. You want to win football games, you got to put your players in the best situation possible to help you score points. And that 72-yard drive was just exactly that. He ran a little bit, and he used his athleticism, and Tanner Engstrom had a great opening game plan, and then after that, it falls apart. And it's not just Justin. I told you when they signed him that he's not the long-term answer. He's in short bursts. He's a good player, but the more you see, the less you're going to like, and that's kind of where we are right now with the Jets. But I don't know what realistically people thought was going to happen
nobody expected the Jets to go out there and win.
But it also shows you, and again, you know, I think most Jet fans around here and most commentators and people like us were saying, you know, the biggest difference is you got Mike Vrabel as a head coach, you got Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator, and they got their guy, Drake May. And Drake May is having an MVP-type season. I mean, he is off the charts good. They got it right when they made the pick last year. They recognized that whatever he was in last year was a mess, and they had to clean that up, and they had to bring Josh McDaniels back. There was no pass rush from the Jets whatsoever. But how calm he was, how he sets his feet, how he reads the defense, how he throws the ball over the top. This is what a professional quarterback looks like. There's no panic. There's no, you know, it's like all the balls are accurately thrown. There's no underthrown balls. There's no balls thrown behind wide open guys. And this has been Justin Fields' problem since he got into the NFL with the Bears. I mean, it's just he's a very inaccurate passer for whatever reason. And he doesn't look the part. When you watch Drake May, that's what it's supposed to look
like. Yeah, right, of course. And we all understood that Justin Fields wasn't going to be the long-term answer from the second that they signed him. But it's just really what my perspective is you've got all these games left. You traded away a couple guys. You have to play the string out. So while you're playing the string out, what are you going to try to do? If you're going to try to win some of these games or be in these games, and this game was, I mean, if you look at the scoreboard, it was relatively close. It was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter, but it just didn't feel like that because the Patriots, even when they're down 7-0, they felt like they were in command the entire game. It's just that he doesn't give you a chance at this point. It's like enough, and I don't know if he's going to go back and forth with the silly thing. That's all you want is you just want to go into a football game. If you're trying to build morale or set a foundation of this new world that Aaron Glenn wants to have, you want to have a chance. And he doesn't give you a chance. But obviously, no. I mean, this is no shocker. The Patriots won. The Patriots covered. They're the better team. They are way ahead in their rebuild. They already felt like they've rebuilt. So none of it's a shock. And I don't know if the Jets will win another game the rest of the year. I just want them, if they're trying to, which I know that they are, to give themselves an opportunity to win. And Tyrod Taylor does that just a little bit better than Justin Fields does if he's on the field.
Yeah, if he's on the field. I understand that. And, you know, you're dealing with a real this is a hardcore now rebuild and transition. I mean, it is. It's 100%. It's obvious, especially after the trade deadline and the trading of the players and the acquiring of the assets. So now, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's the defense's fault, too. Well, they lost two of their best players. I mean, you know, what do you want? I mean, when you take those guys off the field and you're playing against a top end offense like the Patriots are and a balanced offense like the Patriots are, you're going to run into exactly what they ran into last night. I'm like, I'm not shocked by any of this. I mean, am I disappointed that they lost? No, I'm not. I mean, it is what this thing is turning out to be. Like, we knew what this was going to be. So now we're living through it. And I guess you're right, that to the point where if you really want to win, you got to put somebody out there that has at least a chance to throw the ball down the field. Now, hopefully they get Garrett Wilson back in the next couple of weeks. Who knows? That's going to be a big part of it.
Well, he's on IR
now. Oh, he is on IR?
Yeah, put him on IR.
Oh, they did. All right. So you got a Donnie Mitchell dropping balls all over the place. So that's the other thing that doesn't help. I mean, this is it's a brutal, brutal time for the guys over there in the building. It's a brutal time for the coach. It's a brutal time for the fans. And this is what an ugly rebuild looks like. This is it. This is what you're right in the middle of. So now you want to win, but you also, if you want your quarterback, if you think there's a Drake May, you remember when Drake May was coming out? I forget who tried to trade up to get him and the Patriots wouldn't trade.
Well, it was the Giants.
Yeah, it was the Giants. That's right. Yeah. It was. And so so Drake May in the eyes, just to put it in a local flavor, is kind of like Matthew Schaefer. Like, they knew he was going to be good. The question is, could they put him in a situation where he could be good or become great? And he's in the midst of becoming great right now. And it's not shocking given the amount of money that the New England Patriots paid in free agency this past offseason to prop up Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels and to get this thing going in the right way. And they spent the money the right way. They're building the team the right way. And they could be the odds-on favorite to now make it to the Super Bowl again, which is amazing to me. I mean, after 2-4-13 seasons back-to-back, they are now the best team in the NFL record-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you mentioned, there's things that don't surprise you in the NFL, and one of those things is when you got the great quarterback and great coach combination, things generally work out for you, and you're at the top of your division, and you're winning games, and the conversation about the Jets isn't specifically about last night. It's just not. Like, that's not the conversation.
It's about the future.
The conversation is, what are you trying to do the rest of this year? And I do think it's important, because I understand there's going to be a lot of guys gone and a lot of new guys in, and it's going to be Mugi and Glenn's guys, and there's going to be some roster turnover. There's also going to be guys that are here and remain here that are on this team. And we have seen this group of the Jets that have been here for several years, all they know is losing. I mean, Quinnen Williams told you, the losing and losing, and everybody knew I was frustrated in the losing, and he requested trades. Like, so what you want to see is just a little bit of momentum going forward at the end of this year. You talked about, you know, many times the Detroit Lions and them turning the page and all that stuff with Dan Campbell. You know, when they won that first game after they were 0-11, you know, they won a couple games after that. Now they come out and they had a rough start the next year, but then they got some momentum after that. At some point, if you're going to turn the corner, you're going to have to win some games, feel good about yourself. And they won two in a row, but what I'm worried about now with the Jets is, are they going to win another one?
Well, they got to pay. They got their schedule. Their remaining schedule is Lamar Jackson, Michael Penix, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Tyler Shuck down in New Orleans, Drake May again, and then Josh Allen. So, I mean, I don't know about Tyler Shuck, but the point being is that they're playing players that have shown at the quarterback position that they're significantly better than your group. And by the way, your group has given up 18 touchdown passes and zero interceptions. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, because there's never been anything like this. That's why I haven't seen it. It's never happened.
I mean, the fact that they can't generate one turnover, you can't get one fumble, you can't get one interception. I mean, that is another big, like, ginormous problem that they have. Their defense is not making any plays. I mean, they may make a stop on third or fourth down, and that's a big deal for them, and they're busting their ass, and they're trying to make tackles, but they aren't forcing any turnovers. I mean, there was little to no pressure. Did Drake May hit the ground last night?
Jermaine Johnson got him
once. Maybe I missed that. Maybe I was sleeping. Yeah. I don't know.
But was it. I mean, you're not wrong. There was stress-free for most of the night.
So it's edge rushers, it's quarterback, it's all the things that most franchises would love to have. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why Howie Roseman trades for Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins, because you got to have a guy over there that's going to make the quarterback uncomfortable from the other team. And right now, the Jets defense is not doing it. Listen, they could do it to Dylan Gabriel, but I told you, he threw two touchdown passes against them. Yeah. So you can imagine these other quarterbacks going to be salivating playing against this Jet defense. And, you know, they were exposed against the Bengals. You know, they got tore up against the Bengals. And the Bengals, in the opposite fashion, got exposed by the Jets, a horrendous offense.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you how bad the Bengal defense is.
Yeah, I mean.
So at this point, I don't want to just start dumping on people because I expected it.
Well, the time for that is over. That's why my point is that there's going to be some decisions here that are made when you're trying to just be competitive the rest of the year. That's important. The whole thing, like, as much as I've made fun of Aaron Glenn and his cliches and all this, you know, big ships turn slow and stacking Legos and all this stuff. If you really want to believe in that, then play competitive football the rest of the year and squeak out a win or two. And the first thing you have to start with is getting Justin Fields off the field. That's it. Now, that's just it. You know, I'm not sitting here and dumping on him or dumping on Muji at this point or Aaron Glenn. It's all over. So we already talked about this 10 million times.
Yes.
The point is, now here we are in the middle of November. You've already decided to make some big trades that we agree with. So, like, when you show up on, well, whatever, it's after a Thursday night, I guess they'll be back in there on Monday.
Most likely Monday, yes.
When you show up on Monday, what are we trying to do here? What are we trying to do the rest of the season? And that is put the best possible product out there to feel good about this organization going into next year. And so, that does not include Justin Fields.
So I've been through this exact thing with a first-year coach.
Yeah.
And his name was Richie Kotite, and it was 1995. Same thing. I got hurt in the middle of the season. I think I missed four games and came back somewhere towards the back end of the season, maybe with about four or five games left. I can't, mm-hmm. You know, somewhere around there. And I remember what I was doing. You can ask Wink Rebet this. He'll tell you.
Okay.
I would go into, like, the wide receiver room, the running back room, and the tight ends, wherever they had them. They were roaming the room. They were roaming the building because there was no tight end coach. So they were roaming all over the place. And I would just say to them, guys, write down what your goals are for the next game and what are your total goals for the rest of the season. And this is what I want each individual to do. because I want you to be the best player you can be. I want to be the best player I can be. And I want to make sure that we give it our maximum effort and we don't take anything for granted. That was my message. And, you know, they came back, and to their credit, they came back with all these different things that they wanted to do. The Richie Andersons of the world, the Adrian Morells of the world, the, you know, Charles Wilsons and Wayne Corbett, of course, and Johnny Mitchell. I mean, all those guys came back with, you know, with goals, you know, and I would try to help them and I would try to help myself meet those goals. But I wanted to make sure everybody was locked in and we were all still pushing forward and not taking this game for granted. Because at any moment when we step out on the field, like Glenn Foley found out, you could actually have your career derailed by a major injury.
Yeah, I mean, this is where, and obviously Richie Kotite, after that year, things got worse for him. And if Aaron Glenn doesn't want to have the same fate, I mean, he's got, and I think he knows this, and I've been highly critical of him. And I don't know if he's the right guy or not, but he's going to coach these last number of games like they matter, like they have a chance to make the playoffs. And hopefully that resonates with these guys, because they don't have a chance to make the playoffs. But that's the way you got to have. That's the mentality you have to have.
Yeah.
So this thing doesn't just completely go to the ground and be another tire fire and then going into next year with no momentum at all.
I would say that Aaron Glenn has that fire. He has the fire in his belly that he wants to compete. He wants to win. He knows that he was on the sideline last night. He knows, you could see it. I could see it. I think he's trying to put on a very good face during the game. Every now and then you see he can get frustrated pretty easily. But, you know, he knows that he's undermanned. He knows that he's going through this, and this is going to be the hardest part of all of it, is trying to rebuild it. And, you know, we may not like the sparring with the media for no reason. There may be a reason behind it for him. But for the Jet player right now, I'm sure morale is really low, and it's going to be up to him to try to get it, because there's really no leader on this team now.
Yeah.
I mean, Membu's a rookie. He's not going to be a leader. Fashanu is probably a pretty quiet guy. He's not going to be a leader. There's nobody on defense that's going to be a leader. Quincy Williams has been benched, you know, and you know, your highest paid players are playing poorly or are sitting on the bench, and Garrett Wilson's now on IR. You have literally no leader on that team. Not that I see, anyway.
Well, I mean, I think that the one guy, if he was, would be if Tyrod played again, the veteran presence of him, he'd be the only one. But he's a transient football player. He's not someone who's here under contract for a long time who can be.
He can't be Jackson Dart.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, so it's up to the coaching staff. It's up to those guys. And really, there's different levels of importance of players on this roster. There's guys that are not going to be here next year. And there's guys that are still foundational players that you need to keep inspired, because this losing, as you have told me, when you're on these rosters, it just piles up. It's horrible showing up to work.
Yeah.
And you need to somehow, if you can, the rest of this year, while you're losing games, which is a tough task, is somehow get that mentality out of them and keep these guys focused that things can turn, like the Jermaine Johnsons and the Will McDonalds, those guys
Those are the guys that, along with Fashanu and Membo, are going to be, right. I would like to think, are going to be your foundational players moving forward.
Like Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji and the coaching staff's got to get these guys, these foundational pieces that you know are going to be here, to stay buying in the rest of the year and create a competitive atmosphere the rest of the way, because if they just completely fall apart and quit the rest of the season, it's just not going to be good.
I didn't see a team that quit.
No.
I saw a team that wasn't as good as the other team that they were playing, and the other team is so well coached and so well put together.
Yeah.
And it's
so frustrating for a Jets fan. It's the Patriots again. The Patriots again.
Yes.
Here they are, you know?
And they found their guy, man, and that kid is real. You know, I was listening to Steph Diggs last night after the game, and he was like, man, this kid has got control of the huddle. Steph Diggs, and I could just imagine this, where the wide receiver goes, you know, sometimes I line up at the right place. You know, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I go somewhere, so he's got to put me in the right place. And yeah. Like, I could just imagine. And the fact that a second-year player is doing that, it's kind of like the impact that Jackson Dart has had on the Giants. Like, you could see that this is – clearly this young man's team, and he's going to be the next big quarterback with the next big contract. He'll break the record, I believe, for the next contract, because that's how good he's playing. That's how good he is. He has eight or maybe nine now, 200-yard passing games in a row. Could even be more than that. And there's only two other guys that have done that, what he's in the midst of doing right now. And I think it's Brady and Favre. And both of those years, they won the MVP in the NFL. I'll check that again. I just want to make sure.
All right. We will get that, and you'll take a look, and we'll get Jerry Recco in here in just a little bit on this Feel Good Football Friday. Just getting started on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Weather for you brought to you by
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That one Jets drive, the decision with Glenn to receive the football and then drive it right down the Patriots' throats, the huge, you know, taking time off the clock. That would be their model to win games this year. Not sustainable in that game against one of the best teams, if not the best team, certainly in the AFC with the New England Patriots. But at least that would give you something to hope for. They kept the game close.
They didn't cover. If you bet the Jets, they didn't cover.
I thought that they did.
They did cover. I'm sorry. They did. So listen. I can't get mad at something that I've got no expectations for. I mean, that's really the simplest way to evaluate this game last night. Now, I know, and just, you know, knowing the way it's been here with Joe and on occasion me and others, like the Jet rants are fun, and sometimes they're interesting. There's nothing to rant about. I mean, right now, I mean, the Jets' talent disparity is massive. So you've got to look for smaller things that kind of give you a sense of whether or not Aaron Glenn could grow into that role as the right guy. And, you know, it's funny, it's a little thing, but when they won the coin toss and they received the football, and I know you just said that, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, that's interesting.
All right, even before they scored, I'm thinking, I like this move.
I did too, because what you're doing is you're saying, all right, man, you had 12 yards passing going into the fourth quarter in the game against the Browns. Go out there. I've got some confidence in you. 14 plays, 70-plus yards, 5 first downs. Even when Glenn, remember when he called the timeout on 3rd and 6?
Yes.
Remember that he was running toward the ref? And there was an execution. It was a pass after that. They got the first down. Mm-hmm. Like, again, we've got to dig deep to find some positives here. But I thought the Jets competed. You know, I thought the Jets played hard. They're just incredibly short on talent. They got around Drake May. They couldn't get him down outside of Jermaine Johnson once. Drake May is God.
Yeah.
He's going to be a handful for well over a decade. I don't know what you expect. The Jets came, they fought, they gave you a game. The better team won.
They gave more than I expected. And I guess Rami said the line was 12.5, so you were right. They didn't. In my mind, for some reason, I thought it was 14 or maybe it was going to go that way.
Hey, I thought I had it right. They did not cover that game.
So 12.5 was the line.
It went off at 12.5.
Okay, that's what Rami said.
Okay.
I did not look at the line. I was looking at, I thought the Patriots were going to win by 20, so I was looking at alternate lines.
I saw you tweet, Nick.
So the decision to me, right out of the gate, there with Aaron Glenn, I liked it because it's different. It's outside the box. Forget the result. It's easy to come on and say it after they scored the touchdown. But even the announcer, like, that's odd. The offense can't move the football, and yet they're deciding to take the ball here to start the game. That's why I liked it, because it wasn't Aaron Glenn sitting in some box looking at the analytics saying, okay, well, we're going to kick it. We're going to defer, and then we'll get the ball to half. No, he felt with their game plan going in, you know what? We want to receive the football here, and let's see what we can do. And they had that scripted drive, and it was perfect. Now, you wish you could do that. It's clearly not sustainable with all the runs with Justin Fields, although I would try to do a little bit more. But that is their formula to have a chance to compete in a game like that. As the game goes on, defense did do enough to slow down the Patriots. They were whatever. I mean, they're undermanned. You know what it is at this point. I thought the schemes were fine. Couldn't do enough to slow down the Patriots. They can't overcome some of the penalties. The penalty on Brownlee early on with the body slam there. Once that happened, and it's early on and penalties are going to happen. It wasn't a lot of them, but they're not good enough, anywhere close to good enough or talented enough to overcome a penalty like that. So once that happened, put the Patriots in a position to go right down the field and score the game, tie the game with a touchdown, and then everything changes from there. But I think it was an effort that you could be proud of if you're a Jet fan.
Last night. I mean, I proud is a boy. It seems like almost a bit of a stretch, but yeah, I guess I do reach for that word as well. You tell me.
You're the Jet fan.
Yeah, I do. I just hate having that. Like, that is such a loser mindset to be proud.
But at this point, BT.
That's why I'm there. And that's why I'm okay with it now. I understand where they are. I see what Aaron's trying to do. There was some evidence here. You put up almost 40 against a bad Bengals defense. You beat a bad Browns team. You had a couple of special team plays, which means, and I've said this before, during the bye week that you were buttoned up. You were ready to play. You were diligent in meetings. You were locked in on the practice field. You came out. You beat a bad Browns team in the rain, and you came out, and you were ready to play last night. So that's a continuation of this template that he's trying to create. I like that.
Well, think about it this way. I felt coming away from that game, many times watching that game, even though it was frustrating and obviously they got away from the Jets. I was watching that game saying, you know what? I think the Jets are a well-coached football team. And that, to me, at this stage of where they're at, is more important than saying, well, they have a quarterback who can't make a throw.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know that.
Nice.
Justin Fields had issues. I'm not trying to pick on him. He had issues in Chicago, and clearly we've seen his deficiencies here. They have to get a quarterback. They will pick a quarterback. Now, will that be the right one? Who the hell knows? But I'm more concerned about, especially after starting 0-7 and some of the ways that those games went, I'm more concerned about, does Aaron Glenn know what he's doing? And is he going to get this football team to play the right way, play hard, and be overmatched as a head coach, which is what a lot of people were saying after the 0-7 start. I watched that game. I saw what I believe to be a well-coached football team.
I agree with that. And one other thing, too. So... And I tweeted this before the game, and I said it obviously on the show. Like, we both thought they'd get stomped. We both thought that, right? We said that before we signed off. And I wanted to see before the stompage began, and even though it really didn't, but in my mind it would, I wanted to at least see an aggressive, like, I want to see you go there and look to win, not go there and look to not get blown out, like Robert Saleh did so many times. And that plays into taking the ball, which is very unconventional. You know, I wanted to see anytime there was and they didn't have many of these, anytime there was a fourth and short situation, go for it. I wanted to see a trick play. They tried that with the pass to Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So there's still, and I'll throw out a number, probably 18 to 22 players on this roster that will, maybe more, that will not be here whenever they hit, whatever they're going to hit with Aaron. But the 20 or 25 or 30 who are, this is how you build a winning team. Hey, we're here to win, guys. We're not here to avoid getting embarrassed. And it's a shift in mindset. I feel it. I recognize it. I like some of the things Glenn's done. And again, proud sounds like a loser.
Yeah
but I'm okay with that.
How about
because
happy?
Because they're so much inferior to this team.
How about happy with the direction, with the foundation being built? I mean, think about where we were 3 weeks ago prior to the Jets winning a game to where we are now. They won two, and I could minimize it all I want. Like, the Bengals stink, the Browns stink. Yeah, but the Jets found a way to win those games, and that makes things easier to try to change the culture and build a foundation. Then when you go up against a team of the Patriots that nobody really gave you a chance to win, and you at least fight, to your point, fight and show that you do some good things, and then you realize when you watch the game, they just don't have anywhere near enough, whether it be defensively,
secondary's
offensively.
A mess.
Yeah, they just don't have anywhere near enough to compete with the Patriots. And I was surprised that the score was actually as close as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more encouraging where you could look at this team and say they're a well-coached football team. You could see the foundation being built here. Now, the expectations are going to raise significantly in year two. They're going to have to get some pieces. We know they were set up in the draft. I would be excited and very hopeful from a Jets perspective about the future, because I think all you could ask in year one is exactly what we've seen now the last 3-4 weeks.
Yes, the one criticism that I do have for Aaron is, you know, and this is a bigger conversation, meaning nothing for the season, but just in terms of like messaging and accountability, you know, Justin Fields can't start anymore. You know, if we're here for evaluation, right, and you want to get a real look at, you know, some of the new receivers, obviously Mechie and Mitchell.
Mitchell, he's got something wrong with his hands or what?
Yeah. I mean, I still want to see that. Well, that's why I want to see Tyrod Taylor play. Like, I want to see him get fed the football. I think he's a lot better than he showed last night. I know he had some bad moments. I'm not making excuses, man. The one throw that Justin made down the sideline, he dropped it, you know, 40 yards through a keyhole. You got to make that play. So Mitchell was bad, but I think he's better than this. But you can even see his release off the line of scrimmage against Gonzalez, who's one of, if not these, the second he's like, that's, he's very fast.
That's what a real cornerback looks like.
True, but forget it. Yeah, there's no doubt. But look at Mitchell's drops.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
Yeah. It wasn't like Fields was putting the ball right on the money, but he's got to make some of those catches.
Of course, you got to help your guy out. But look at the release. There was at least two plays where Mitchell like went inside and then
got
and then
separation.
He cooked Gonzalez. Yeah. He had a step on him. So I want to keep playing him. I know he can run the football, but he is woeful throwing the football. And I think there's a little arrogance here. Because Justin Fields was Aaron Glenn's guy. Now, we don't know the exact influence of Woody telling Rodgers to take a hike. We know that Glenn was the guy who had it dropped at his doorstep. And Glenn said, I can roll with Justin Fields. He's got to make the determination that he just can't play him. That's me. I don't know if he'll bench him, but it doesn't matter big picture. But Mason Taylor, these receivers, they need to be in positions where they can make plays with a real quarterback the final 2 months of the season.
BT and Sal on the fans get some calls here. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you, to the Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh starts us off in Queens. What's up, Josh?
Josh.
Boys, I hate calling after a loss so much, and I feel like I've been doing that for 15 years.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Let me tell you. I'll give you a couple of stats. First off, this secondary is god atrocious. Jason Brownlee Jr., whatever his name is, has no business being on that field.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I like his physical style and his attitude.
He got schooled so many times last night.
He had a rough
Brandon
night.
Stevens on that out route. There was one out route to Douglas. He got schooled. Fields can't throw at all. I don't blame A.D. Mitchell, except for that deep post that you guys talked about.
Uh-huh.
That was a 40-yard post.
Yeah.
That was the only pass.
Josh, let me ask you something. All right, hold on. Let me ask you something. What did you expect to happen last night?
Honestly,
yeah.
If Tyrod Taylor was in the game, and the way that this team, here we go, BT.
No, that's
the exact way that this team started is, I'm telling you, Tyrod Taylor would have at least had at least three scoring drives. I'm not saying they would have won, but it would have looked like a competent offense.
Well,
and the other thing, here's the stat. Here's the last stat that I got for you. You ready?
Go ahead,
and
Josh.
It pains me when I say this because they played the Patriots.
Okay.
Tom Brady, since 2020, has 33 wins. Tom Brady's been retired for 2 years. The Jets have 27.
We understand the ineptitude, Josh.
No,
I mean, come on.
Come on, man.
Dude, what do you think? We're new to this game? I mean, we understand the plight of the Jets more than anybody.
You can't be frustrated. I'm sorry. You can't be I told you before the season started, it's not about wins or losses. I get it from a fan perspective. You want to win. This is about bigger picture. It's about building a foundation. Well, what'd you expect? They weren't winning that game. They were two touchdown underdogs. They did better than most people thought last night. And you're right. Maybe if Tyrod Taylor played, I don't even want to go down that road, but we could. If they had a real quarterback, put it that way, they would have competed. That's a big if. Obviously, that's a big piece. But they don't have enough talent. That's not where you're supposed to be in year one with a new GM and a new head coach. You're not supposed to be winning games. You're supposed to be building a foundation of getting guys to play the game the right way, the hard way, play smart football. And they've progressively gotten better as the season has gone on. What more do you want?
Think about year one, Tom Thibodeau. That's the model.
Yes, exactly. Now, they had the results, but that just happened to be circumstance.
And they don't even have a Julius Randle on this team. Right. Well, they do. He's just not playing Garrett Wilson. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if last night or even now, Aaron's had some moments before the end of the first half. There's been some things that we've talked about decision-wise that he's messed up. But it's gotten a little bit cleaner as the year's gone on. And we're sitting here today, and he butchered timeouts. And
yes.
Before, like, and it was just like coaching ineptitude, like 101, like,
right.
God, this guy's a mess. That is a different level of concern. That should spark a fiery reaction. Losing and being much more competitive than they were supposed to be and yelling about something that it's not applicable is the height of idiocy for me. Like, you know, I'm not going to get mad if I don't shoot a 75 in golf because I suck.
Right.
You got to understand this stuff. So this is big picture and big ticket stuff. I thought Mitchell was bad last night. I thought Myers, the center, had a lot of bad snaps. I thought Brownlee was bad. I mean, all right, so you want a couple of things so I can actually pull out from the game? All right, there you go. There you go. Justin Fields can't throw. And if you can't throw, if you threw like this in 1959, you wouldn't have a lot of success in the NFL, let alone 2025.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus. Chris is in Yonkers. What's up, Chris?
How are you guys doing?
What's up, Chris?
Good. How are you?
I'm
How
doing
are you?
Well. I've been listening to your show now for the past year, and I love it. You guys are very, very accurate in a lot of your opinions, and the show is great. All right, long story short, I thought the Jets were going to get blown out last night. I'm talking like 42 to 14, 42-7, but they really showed me that they, they hung in there. I mean, the score wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what we've been saying. And, you know, just, and thanks for the call there, Chris, and appreciate you listening to us for last year or so. Thank you.
Is he really listening, though?
I think, well, he's got his on.
15 minutes, we just said how we felt about it.
That's a good observation. Yeah, I mean, listen, I listen to you guys all the day, all the time. What'd you just say? I don't know. Right. We just said it. Go back on the Free Odyssey app and listen again. I think that something else that I think should be said, now again, very limited here, but Tanner Engstrand, the OC, now, it didn't work well against Miami when Braylon Allen fumbled at the one, but the Jets are now showing a proclivity. I'm in the
I don't know. You're going to have to define that one.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
The Jets are they're now showing an ability here to come out when you script the first 15, 20 plays to at least do something, and a lot of times they're fine in the end zone. And think about how many times they had a stat last night. I don't even remember what it was, but it was not good, obviously, because it was attached to the Jets. It was something along the lines of the last, I don't know, since 2022, whatever the hell it is, you know, the last 50-something opening drives, the Jets had 7 touchdowns and, like, 36 punts and 9 turnovers.
Yeah.
Just gross. Like, whatever the ratio was. You're at least seeing the ability to, you know, draw something up based on the limited talent that they do have and go out there and move the ball the first series.
To me, this is a pretty normal, if not actually good, first year for a new GM and a rookie head coach that has taken over a team that didn't have a quarterback, wasn't very good, obviously disarray, and then traded away arguably two of their most talented players at the trade deadline. Think about how we got here. Week one was a terrific performance, okay? Everybody was excited.
That's fun.
All accounts, a terrific, against a good Steelers.
Should have won.
The Bills game was like, uh-oh, back to maybe being what we thought we were going to be. They competed in the Bucs game. You could argue they should have won that game. That was ugly. But still, losing by 2 points to a very good Bucs team on the road in Tampa Bay. The Miami game, a great first drive, ended with a fumble on the goal line, changed the whole thing. By the way, maybe Miami's not as bad as we thought, the way that Miami just pounded Buffalo. The Jets lose by 6 points in Miami. The Dallas game, okay, you know, got away from a little bit, and Dallas scored a ton of points. Ugly, again, not pretty. Denver game, one of the good football teams in a league. Close game, ugly football game, but they lose by 2 points. I thought the Panther game was horrific. Panthers, again, aren't as bad as at least I thought, and maybe as everybody thought coming in. Unacceptable, inexcusable, pathetic performance at home. It happens. Then they win the next two games against the Bengals and Browns, and now they compete against one of the best teams. When you look at it in total, and I'm not judging it based off of the win-loss record, which is not good, but I actually don't think it's as bad as it seemed. It was only that bad because it was 0-7. Had they lucked into a win or two, it would be a normal year one when you're trying to build a foundation with a new regime.
Well, yes. And here's the other thing that's going on. This is actually a real rebuild. This is what a real rebuild looks like. It's not pretty. There's not many good players. It's a complete resetting of the finances, the draft capital, and the expectations. And I know Jet fans are out there saying, well, we've been through this before. Not like this, we haven't. You know why? Because the Jets always half-step their rebuilds. Well, we're going to rebuild, but we're going to give Le'Veon Bell real money. And we're going to rebuild, but we're going to get, and C.J. Mosley was a very good pro, but we're going to give C.J. Mosley big money. We're going to rebuild. Let's bring in Aaron Rodgers here to try to get us over the over the goal line here. Oh, yeah, by the way, even though things are going awry here, let's bring in Davante Adams and make a trade for him midseason and hope that the ship doesn't sink. That is not a rebuild. That is a desperate act by men trying to save jobs and take shortcuts. I think Aaron, based on what happened in Detroit, and really based on what happened when he was here with the Colts and Parcells, he knows what is required for a real, authentic rebuild. Jet fans, if you don't have the appetite for it, I get it. I do. So I'm okay with it.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Football Friday here on the Fan, Evan and Tiki for the next 4.5 hours. We'll get into the Giants, who try to get that interim coach bump as they take on the Green Bay Packers. The great Joe Beningo will join us at 4 o'clock. What Edwin Diaz said and didn't say last night, that may give us some insight on his plans, and we'll make our NFL picks later as well. I'm going to use this word, Tiki Barber. I don't know if you're expecting this, but it's the big D. I am very disappointed.
That D.
Yes. I can't tell you I'm angry. I can't even tell you I'm mad. This is the thing I'll do to my kids. I think it's the thing you do with your kids. I'm disappointed.
Yes.
And I'm disappointed for like 15 reasons. And I actually wrote them down to keep my thoughts collected.
Oh, 15?
Yeah.
15 reasons?
Yeah. It was that kind of night.
Wow.
I'm disappointed, of course, that the Jets lost to the Patriots, but I'm disappointed in how it happened. I'm disappointed in the penalties. I'm disappointed over the last few weeks as the Jets showed, I guess, more buttoned-upness over the last few weeks, that went away. And it started right away when Justin Brownlee took Stephon Diggs to Suplex City, when they committed a penalty on special teams where the Jets set up at their own 7 instead of their own 35. Or how about this one? When there was 12 men on the field after a change of possession, or when there was an illegal contact by Brandon Stevens wiping out a Quincy Williams sack, or when Joe Tippmann was called for an unnecessary roughness penalty, or how about this in terms of disappointment? DeMario Douglas is down, and Justin Brownlee doesn't touch him, and that leads to 20 extra yards. I was disappointed in A.D. Mitchell. This was his first chance to show us something, and he showed us a little bit. He creates great separation, but how many drops could he have?
Right.
I'm disappointed in the coverage that sucked all night, and I'm disappointed in this quarterback who is not any good. But I'm not even disappointed as much in him as I am that this head coach didn't see what I said to you yesterday and what every Jet fan saw on a Thursday night, which is your best chance to win was to get him out of the game. So I gave you 100 reasons, Teak, to start. I'm not screaming. I'm not angry. I'm very disappointed in all of that and more, which led to a Jet loss to the Patriots.
Yeah, now you're talking about Justin Fields, and I think he's where you have to really start. You said this yesterday. I didn't think it would actually happen, that you would, at some point in the game, because of ineffectiveness, go to Tyrod Taylor. But there was a point where it felt like it was necessary. And this has nothing to do with Justin Fields' athleticism, because he is an extraordinarily athletic quarterback. In fact, that first drive was mostly on the legs of Justin Fields, and even the touchdown run, he should have handed it off. That was a zone read. He read it wrong and still scored a touchdown. And so his athleticism gives you an advantage. But in the NFL these days, eventually you're going to start getting 5-man fronts, and that's what the Patriots did. 3-down linemen, 5 techniques, a nose tackle, and two edge guys. You can't run the football. Even if you do have well-schemed zone reads, you're still not going to get anywhere. You have to be able to throw the football. And to me, I made the excuses a couple of weeks ago. Well, why wouldn't Tanner Engstrand put him back in these 5 or 7 step drops? You just didn't see it again. So to me, it feels like there is a distrust of Justin Fields, and you're processing it in a different way than I'm processing it. But I'm looking at it saying this offense, this coordinator, this team doesn't trust Justin Fields unless you let him run the football.
Well, and I guess I would defend them by saying, would you? Because if you look at the 3 other drives after that amazing opening drive, Justin Fields cost the Jets 2 first downs on the 3 drives with bad throws.
Yes.
And look, did he get help from A.D. Mitchell on that deep ball? No, that was actually a good throw, and Mitchell should have made the play. But on the drive before that, he missed A.D. Mitchell wide. On the drive after that, and this was the run right at the end of the first half, he threw the ball behind him, and he was open.
And that was a perfectly schemed route.
It was perfect, but it goes to that. Like, it was schemed perfectly, and to A.D. Mitchell's credit, he had such a weird debut, because even though he only had 1 catch for 10 yards and had a bunch of drops, the dude got open.
I know.
Like, I give him credit along with the coach's credit. So I think when you look at the way the first half went and the way the second drive got stymied on a bad pass by Justin Fields, the way the fourth drive got stymied on a bad pass by Justin Fields, they're down 14-7 at the half. They were lucky on the missed field goal.
Yes.
They were lucky that they overcame some of those mistakes. That was the moment. That was the moment to say, you know what? And it would have fit exactly what I said yesterday on the show where I said they'll be down 9-6 at the half and they'll go to Tyrod Taylor. They were down 14-7 at the half.
Right. It was a perfect opportunity.
And they should have gone to Tyrod Taylor. And it's not only about him, though I think that's the big thing people want to talk about. All the way around, I was just disappointed, man. They did a lot of little things wrong. And if you're going to win games when you're the less talented team, you can't make those mistakes. And it feels like a lot of the mistakes that Aaron Glenn did a really good job of eradicating over the last few weeks, mainly the mindless penalties, they came back. And it sucks, man.
Evan, here's the problem.
Go.
In your mind, you started to think that this team was taking steps towards being good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they're not good yet. They're just not. And good teams do everything that you saw before the bye week and the week after the bye week and those two wins. They do them consistently. This team just doesn't do it consistently. And until you can, you're not a good team. Part of that is talent. I can't chalk it up to coaching. We just haven't seen enough of it yet. But I think the team just isn't good enough yet. And in your mind, you want to convince yourself that after two straight wins, the discipline feels to be locking in. All these mantras that Aaron Glenn is preaching to this team, that it's going to stick and you see it every game day. It's not the case
yet. Yeah, but wait, hold on. Let me teach you something about football, Barber. I'm afraid how this is going to be responded, but is a 12-man on the field penalty?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And that's my point. Like, you're right.
That's ridiculous.
You are right. They're not as talented as the New England Patriots.
I'm talking about execution. You're talking about, I mean, that's like delay a game after a penalty.
Well, but that's
what's worse.
That's where I think I'm mostly disappointed, because you're right. Like, talent-wise, I know they're not as good as New England, and maybe I did talk myself into thinking they could win this game or compete more than they actually did. It was those things that really gave me the disappointment. You're coming out of a break. There's a minute 48 to go. The Pats have the ball at midfield after, of course, Justin Fields made that terrible pass behind A.D. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And you get called for a 12-man on the field?
Right.
And then three plays later, you're about to get off the field because somehow it's a 3rd and 6. And Quincy Williams, who has responded to his benching, sacks Drake May. And what happens? An illegal contact on Brandon Stevens? Like, is that really talent, Teak?
No. That's just discipline. It's being aware in the moment. But, you know, it's interesting because you go back to the 12-man on the field after a break. So, you know how many, that takes a lot of layers of messing up. That's,
yes!
I mean, see, honestly.
Yes!
So it's the defensive staff that's in the booth, right? So you're coming onto the field. There's this obvious, we always think just the offensive staff is in the booth. There's a defensive staff in the booth too. So they're looking down on the field and somebody's not counting. I promise you it's somebody's job to count. Nobody's counting, so that's one. Two, whoever the defensive play caller was or the position play caller was, you got to know whether you're putting one or both guys in the field. And then three, the player. If you're on the field and someone else is standing where you're supposed to be standing, leave. You know what? The layers of misfunction on that one issue. And again, it was just showed up one time, but still it was – those are the things that kill you and frustrate you when you're playing a tight game against a team that you're worse than.
And Teak, that's what really frustrated me. Like, right, more than anything, and that's why I'm disappointed. Like, I don't think any Jet fan is necessarily angry. If we're angry, we're just angry at the whole thing. We're angry at where we are as a franchise. It's more when you sit down and watch a football game, and you've seen progress over the last few weeks. There's no denying that. We've pointed it out, how they've cut down on the mindless penalties, and you see so much of that. It's, you know, I do kind of put it on Aaron Glenn. He's the head coach.
Right.
Like, I put it on somebody. I mean, when Quincy Williams sacks Drake May, and all of a sudden we get an illegal contact, how is it even possible when Quincy Williams sacks Drake May in literally less than a second? He came in unblocked. There was no time for there to be an illegal contact. Like, I'm screaming at the TV. How did he even have time to illegally contact him? Quincy Williams sacked him within a second. And I apologize. I promised I wouldn't raise my voice, but that's where I get frustrated. It's the stupidness. And then the number one thing, this probably is number one the more I think about it. They are down 24-14. There's 8 minutes to go. And I know most people watching this game say it's over. I think, you know what? Still have a shot.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields drops the snap.
Yep.
Can't pick it up. Doesn't fall on the football.
Just jump on it.
Just jump on it, bro. And he gives it right back to New England. Like, those are the mindless mistakes that as a fan, man, I'm just so sick of. Lose because you're not as good. And I think if you say, well, the Jets lost because they're not as good, I don't think you're being fair to actually what happened last night. Yeah, they're not as good, but what about all this other crap? I didn't see the Patriots do it because they're a buttoned-up, well-coached team, and that's where this team's got to get. And here we are 10 weeks into the year, and I thought there was progress, bro. I felt like they were moving in the right direction, and then you get a cavalcade of crap.
Here's why that drop snap by Justin Fields frustrated me. 10-point game. 12.5-point spread.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's why.
You weren't the only one, I'm sure. Sure, Al Michaels thought the same thing.
Like, are you kidding me?
But it also, I know I wouldn't have said this today, I promise. Like, if the Jets would have lost a heartbreaker, I still would have had different frustrations.
Right.
But I wanted them to be in this game, and they sort of were. And when Justin Fields puts that ball on the ground and gets multiple opportunities to just fall on it, it ended the game. And they legitimately had a chance to at least make this bad boy interesting. And he just, I don't know, he fumbled it away, no pun intended. And it was it was almost the perfect exclamation point, not just for his horrible night, but really everything top to bottom. And then it goes back to Glenn even having him in the game. I mean, it, to me, it was a no-brainer to take him out at halftime.
This is the turning point for me where I look at Aaron Glenn and this whole issue that he's having with the media, most of it has been around the quarterback. Who's your starting quarterback this week? And for the last 2 or 3 weeks, Evan, you've heard me say it, he's just having fun. We know it's Justin Fields. He's joking with these guys. He's making light or putting some levity into a weird and slash obvious situation. But now, I don't think it's not a joking moment anymore.
No.
This is a real conversation that he needs to have with him and his staff, because if Justin Fields is going to put you in position to lose, I know you're paying him $20 million. I know he's got $10 million guaranteed to next year. You have to seriously contemplate what's best for your team and the psyche of your team. Because when your quarterback is playing losing football, that's when everybody starts to get frustrated. That's when you start, you know, let's play Tyrod instead. And as soon as you get that division, forget it, man. You're pulling in two different directions.
Yeah, and I think that may have started last night. Because if you are anyone on this team, except for A.D. Mitchell, he's the one person that can't say a word. And credit to A.D. Mitchell. He, after the game, he called himself out. He knows he had a bad debut. And oddly, I was almost a little encouraged by him because you could see where the potential lies with him. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, you got to catch the football, especially when you're a wide receiver. But if you're on that team and at halftime, you don't see a quarterback change when a couple of little plays changes everything about that first half. I mean, when you look at that opening drive, and I said something very graphic to Tiki via text message about the opening drive. Basically, I'll describe it as how it made my body feel would be the way I would describe it. Is that accurate?
Yes, an aroused feel.
It was that good. After that, when you say, well, what happened on the next three possessions? The true answer is Justin Fields happened. Because if he makes a pass to A.D. Mitchell that isn't wide, they're set up with a first down at midfield on possession number two.
Yep.
If he makes a pass on a wide open A.D. Mitchell again on a third and two, they're set up to at least at the minimum run the clock out prior to the Patriots missing that field goal. And so what happened that caused the offense to do nothing was unfortunately the quarterback. And it doesn't mean he's the only problem. He's not the only thing I'm disappointed about if you've listened to everything we've said. It's the biggest problem because he's the quarterback.
And it's also because this is his moment, like to create trust in him for us as a fan base, for as an evaluating media from a team standpoint. This is his chance, and he's not taking advantage of it. In fact, he's blowing it, to be perfectly honest with you. We keep talking about what are you doing at the top of the draft next year, Jets. And I mean, every game like this makes it more and more obvious that he's not the answer.
No question. And he's not the answer even in the short term during a 2-8 season. More on Justin Fields and what was said about him after last night's performance.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.